So good to see everyone this morning, and we're glad that you're with us today. And we're going to be studying in Matthew chapter 7 this morning, thinking about the Sermon on the Mount. And we've looked at the Sermon on the Mount for quite a while now, and we're coming toward the end of it. And as we see in this text, Jesus is going to be giving the invitation, so to speak, like we do at the end of our lessons. And so the question that he's trying to talk about is this: who will enter the kingdom of heaven? And this is Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. And he says this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So as we look at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus offering the invitation. And the invitation here is in these last few verses of chapter 7, from verse 21 all the way through verse 29. And in essence, what Jesus is saying is this: look, if you have learned from this sermon some things, you need to put it into practice. And that's what we're talking about, putting into practice that which Jesus has taught us. And so he's saying here in this text, it's not enough to just call me Lord. You've got to actually do the things that Jesus tells us to do. And he emphasizes this point by telling the parable of the wise and foolish builders. You remember at the end of this chapter, he says, the wise men built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And what happened to those two? The wise man's house stood firm, the foolish man's house went splat, right? We all know that song is from Bible Vacation Bible School and Bible school. But what was Jesus' point? He said, the wise man is the person who hears these sayings of mine and does them. And the foolish man is the one who hears what I say, but then he doesn't do the things that I say to do. And so there's a relationship then between faith and works that Jesus wants us to understand, that they go together. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. And so, you know, in this section though, here in verse 21 through 23, he's talking about those who will enter the kingdom of heaven. And not everyone is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, is what he's saying here. But so the question we want to ask is, who will enter the kingdom of heaven according to Jesus' teaching right here in Matthew 7 and verses 21 through 23? So let's think about that this morning. First of all, faith only isn't enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that should be clear from what Jesus literally says right here in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There are so many today who are deceived by the teaching of faith only. That is nowhere taught in the Bible. And in fact, Jesus says just the opposite of it right here. He says, faith only isn't going to cut it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. If faith only were true, then Jesus should have said, everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he says, no, that's not the case. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So if we believe in the doctrine of faith only, you've got to confront what Jesus says right here. Because Jesus contradicts that doctrine literally in this verse. Now, we have other passages in the Bible that talk about that we're not saved by faith only. So let's look at James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, for example, where James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So James is talking about not just hearing, not just giving lip service, not just saying, "Lord, Lord," but actually engaging in doing what God wants us to do in his word. We've got to engage. It takes more than just faith alone. And James literally says this in James chapter 2 and verses 14 through 26. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." There's the only place you're going to read in the Bible where the words "faith" and "only" are together, and it says "not by faith only." And so it takes more than just faith. "Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And that's James 2, 14 through 26. So I know a lot of times people come along and say, "Well, yeah, James said that, but look at what Paul says." Okay, let's look at what Paul says. We're going to go Romans chapter 3, 27 through 28. Paul said, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." Romans 9, verse 32. "Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law." And then Galatians 2, verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." So, James says you're not saved by faith only, but by works. Paul says you're saved by faith, not by the works of the law. Are they saying the same thing? Both are true. You say, "Well, how can both be true?" Because we're not saved by faith only, first of all. But then second, we are not saved by the works of the law. That's what Paul's talking about. The works of the law. And what law is that? The law of Moses. Well, what kind of faith saves? Look at Paul's own words here. Same book. This is Galatians 2:16. We just turn over a couple of chapters to Galatians 5:6. And what does he say? "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. Paul did not teach that we're saved by faith only without works of love, without works of the law. Yes. Works of the law of Moses, that had been put away by Jesus Christ. He had nailed it to the cross. What are we saved by? Faith working through love. Not faith only. Not works only. Faith working through love. Both of those things together, they go together. It's not by works of the law. And that's where a lot of people get confused. They look at what Paul taught in Romans and Galatians and they say, oh, it's not by any works. That's not what Paul taught. He taught it's not by the works of the law of Moses. That's not the same thing. That's a different set of works that the Jews had put together to say that if you just do all of these works, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what you think, if you just do these works, then God will save you based on your simply an external observance of those things. And that was not true. And that's what Jesus came to teach us, that it takes more than just the ritualistic observance of things. It takes an internal belief in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, as well. And so we've got to have faith and we've got to have works, both of those things together. So we think about this as we go forward here. We're going to talk about what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not by faith only, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The will of the Father. We've got to respect the will of the Father. Notice verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? So here are the sanctimonious. So how, you know, who will enter the kingdom of heaven? First of all, not faith only. Second, a semblance of sanctimony is not enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Think about what Jesus describes these people as here in verse 23. He says, and then I will declare to you, to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so there's this external religion that everyone can see. And they look at it. Oh, they're so holy. Oh, they're so righteous. Oh, they're so good. Just look at them from the outside. And you can see those things. Jesus is saying, no, no, that's not right either. Many will say to me, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Oh, yeah, you did a bunch of externally religiously looking things, but you had nothing inside of you. You see, that's wrong also. You've got to have both. You've got to have faith and you got to have the works, both of them together. The faith only isn't going to cut it. And the works only isn't going to cut it. But when they're joined together, faith working through love, like Paul says, Galatians chapter 5, that is what we're looking for. Faith working through love. So we have all these externals, and Jesus said, this is just more lawlessness. Now I want us to focus on this word lawlessness for a minute. The word lawless. Because this is important. This is a Greek word, anomia, and it means one who has no law, or a person that is a law to themselves. That is, they live in such a way so that I'm myself ruler, and I don't respect any other laws. Lawlessness, that's what lawlessness is, not recognizing law. And so there's two kinds of people that Jesus is talking about. First of all, he's talking about the sanctimonious, or those who use religion for egocentric purposes. All right? And we've got to face up to this. This is a real problem today. There's so many people who just come to church to get validated. That's all they want. They just come to church and they say, oh, preach. Oh, yeah, I believe all that stuff. And they validate themselves and they go off and do whatever they want. That's not right. That's not how we should live our lives. That's sanctimony, but it's not faithfulness. Think about Jesus describing some of these sanctimonious people in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He spoke this parable to some, listen to this, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Here's the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know, that attitude right there is what Jesus is talking about here. This sanctimonious attitude. Oh, look at all the good things that I do. Ah, certainly God wouldn't condemn me. Wait a minute. Who are you really trusting in? God or yourself? Because that's the question. And a semblance of sanctimony isn't going to be enough. Just like faith only isn't enough, a semblance of sanctimony isn't going to be enough either. Of course, on the other hand, you had the tax collector standing afar off. He would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now look at what Jesus says. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But look at Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Here's more sanctimonious behavior. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to be bare, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. There's the sanctimony. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They put on religious clothing, you see. Show everybody, oh, look how holy I am. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But Jesus says, but you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven, and do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So Jesus doesn't tolerate sanctimonious behavior either. It's not faith only, and it's not a semblance of sanctimony. There's another kind of sanctimonious person, and that's the libertine, the person, a lawless person, the person, you know, a sanctimonious person believes that they're right because they do all of these religious things, and they think that that justifies themselves, you know, like Jesus said there in Luke 18 and verse 9. But then there's another type of person who thinks they're right because they just believe in themselves as being right, and it doesn't matter. They're going to do whatever they want, and nobody else is going to tell them what to do. This is the libertine, who just ignore the teaching of God and the teaching of Christ and live however they want. Look at 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves. He is proud. Pride. Pride lifts one a person up and says, I don't have to behave in any way that God says I can do whatever I want. And a proud person can even use religion to accomplish that same goal. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. The law has a purpose, and it's to convict people who are lawless of being lawless, is what Paul is writing here. And Jesus says, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And lawlessness is in essence just saying, I will do whatever I want to do. I don't care about what the Word of God says. We're either going to live in harmony with the Word of God and seeking to do the holy will of God by the revelation of God's Word, or we're going to live however we want. That first way is a lawful way to live. It's living in a way that is submitting to God and His holy rule. That second way to live is living in a lawless way, just living however we want to live without concern for what the Word of God says. And a semblance of sanctimony isn't enough. You can act like you're religious all day long, but if you're not really doing the Father's will in your life, God's going to say, I never knew you. I don't even know you. Is that what we want? I hope not. Now, the third thing, doing the Father's will. This is the key to understanding who shall enter heaven. Who's going to enter heaven? Faith only is not enough to enter heaven. The semblance of sanctimony is not enough to enter heaven. What does Jesus say? It's got to be he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. To do the will of our Father, number one, our motives must be pure and clean. In other words, we cannot follow Jesus out of egocentrism. We can't follow Jesus out of some kind of feigned allegiance when we're really just doing what we want to do ourselves. You know, even Jesus, the Bible says, this is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it says, Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He had to obey the Father's will. He had to submit himself to the Father's will. Jesus was not lawless. He couldn't just do anything he wanted to do. And neither can we. We must have sincere allegiance to God that is non-egocentric in nature. Now think about the allegiance we must have. Again, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There's got to be a sincere desire to do the Father's will in our lives, not for our own purposes, not just to make ourselves feel better, but because God desires us to do these things. Jesus says, John 13, verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you know, Jesus says there, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. Doing the will of God, keeping the commandments, teaching others to keep the commandments, that's part of being a Christian. Being sincerely obedient to the Word of God and doing what God wants us to do. Consider 1 John 5, 2 through 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So there must be an effort on our part to obey God. But then we must also have the right attitude. It needs to be done in faith. That is, understanding that God is real and that Jesus Christ is real and that we love them because of what they have done for us. And we are going to respond in faith. Faith working through love. That's what gets it done. Philippians 2, 3 through 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's faith working through love. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. That's faith working through love. What does it take to enter the kingdom of heaven? Faith only is not enough. A semblance of sanctimony is not enough. It must be doing the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is twofold. Number one, we've got to have the right attitude. And number two, we've got to do the right things. And that is summed up in that expression that Paul gave us in Galatians chapter 5, faith working through love. Maybe this morning you need to make some changes in your approach to your relationship with God. Maybe you realize today, well, you know what? I've just been living by faith only, and I haven't really considered that God wants me to work for Him and do things for Him and obey Him. And you need to make a change in your life. Maybe you need to become a child of God through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sin. You can begin your walk with Jesus Christ, with faith working through love. Or maybe as a Christian, you've fallen into one of these two camps, the faith-only camp or the semblance of sanctimony camp, and you say, you know what, I need to get back into the balance of things. I need to get back to where I'm practicing what Paul says, faith working through love, and I need help doing that. If that's the case, we are ready to help you. If you have a need and you would like to make it known this morning, you can come forward right now while together we stand and while we sing.